what stood out to me as I was reading different passages the most is having a healthy balance of work and rest is key to feeling wealthy. So if you're taking notes, that phrase is probably the important part and might sum up most of what I say. Having a healthy balance of work and rest is key to feeling wealthy. So having a healthy balance of work and rest is also key to having healthy relationships with your family and friends. If you work too much, you will miss important time with your family and your friendships will be lacking. And then another key phrase that kind of stood out to me while I was preparing this is, by resting when God says, we acknowledge him as our provider. And by working when he says to work, we acknowledge him as our Lord. So depending on your work and the age of your kids, you may also be able to involve them in your work. So that creates some amount of added pleasure to your work. It seems obvious, but main reason I end up thinking about work in regards to wealth is that's where most of our wealth comes from. It is through work. And so one of the first principles, boys, Leland, one of the first principles regarding work and wealth is people were made to work for work by God before sin entered the world. Genesis 2, verse 15 says, the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And then work is made more difficult after sin. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So work is made, or God made man for work, and he designed it for us, but then the difficulty or the stress of work is part of the fall. So a lot of my thought in regards to work and wealth is about how to avoid the stress that Adam's sin introduced to man's work. So Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. When we plan our work, we should always be committing it to the Lord. One way of doing that is by being attentive to the Lord while we work. Two commandments, love the Lord and love your neighbor. Do these while you work. Often our work becomes about us, but if we do these while we work, we honor the Lord. I'll keep reading my notes and try not to get too sidetracked. Psalm 37, 3 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. So those two verses have the phrase, one says, commit your way to the Lord, and the other one in Proverbs says, commit your work to the Lord. And when I've felt stressed about work, that phrase has helped me. At times, I would try and pray about the stressful thing and realized I'd come away more stressed than if I hadn't tried to pray about it, because it's easy to worry and not necessarily give something to the Lord. But by meditating on that phrase, commit your work to the Lord, it helped me to stop focusing on what was worrying me and find that I could just accomplish the work and trust the Lord during it and not be so concerned about the task at hand, I guess. So another principle is avoid dishonest gain. Psalm 37, verse 16 through 17. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Psalm 37, verse 16 and 17. It says, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. And it kind of comes from a conversation with Phil last night. Oftentimes we feel like we have a little, and it's really all relative to either our own goals or who we're comparing ourselves to. And I think it is relative. Little and large are comparative words. And I think that's kind of a key thing to be okay with, to realize when God says that the little that the righteous has, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked, and is realizing that what we have is enough and just being content with that, not feeling like we always need what somebody else has in order to be content, because odds are they're not content with that either, even if they're proud of it. I was thinking that I'm very short too. But when I was thinking about it this morning, even, it's like if I compared what I have now to what I had 10 years ago, like if I gave myself what I have now 10 years ago, would I have been happy then or not? And probably not, because at this point I still don't have what I think I should have. And it's kind of a daily struggle of being content and thankful, and not always just striving for more. So Psalm 127 says in verses 1 through 2, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. That has been a frequent prayer of mine as well. It says, eating the bread of anxious toil, just praying that wouldn't be in my diet, that God would help me not be anxious while I work. So we are made to work and should work willingly, but we trust in the Lord while we work. We should not eat the bread of anxious toil. When we are feeling stressed by our work, it is good to remember these verses. One way I've dealt with stress is to repeat these verses in my head while working, the ones that were Proverbs 16:3 and Psalm 37:5. Another way is to pray, God, I commit this work to you. Whatever I accomplish, God be glorified. These things help remind me that though I have to work and be diligent in my work, what I accomplish and the fruit gained by my work are both gifts from God and not 100% in my control. And that's okay. We sang a song this morning about God giving and taking away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It's good to have that peace in our hearts when we work. For me, as a mechanic, it's the days where nothing breaks and you get a lot done, it feels really good. The days like Thursday and Friday this week, I think it was, where most of the bolts wanted to break, and so you spend a lot of time either using heat or an air hammer or just trying to work a bolt back and forth in a space that you can't hardly fit your hands, and then you cut your hands, and there's hoses and clamps. Those days don't feel so productive. You get very frustrated, and or you try not to get frustrated, and you're just... those are the harder days. Those are the days where you have to commit your work to the Lord and just do the next little bolt that has to come out. And then, thankfully, the job was actually done by 5 o'clock on Friday, but oftentimes it's not. As where, in my mind, I have to commit the work to the Lord and be okay with it and hope that my boss is too. But I think regardless of what your work is, there's always days that feel good and productive and days that feel not so productive because things don't go how we planned or how we'd hoped. And those are the days we have to trust the Lord, as well as the days that we feel accomplished. So next principle I was thinking about is how much time should we devote to work? And I don't think that's a strict rule. I think there's probably seasons in life where we work more or less. But I think there are some basic principles that we can draw from the next several passages I was going to read. Which the last one from Psalms, Psalm 127, 1 through 2, also has some thoughts about that. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." So that verse talks about how sleep is important and how God blesses that, and that we shouldn't neglect sleep altogether. And then Proverbs, there's two passages in Proverbs that have kind of the opposite emphasis in my mind. So Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." That last verse or two verses there is repeated in Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it, and looked. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." And then Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." We are to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. People might argue that we're not under the law anymore. This is true. We shouldn't keep the Sabbath as Pharisees tried to. But the pattern of work and rest is given from creation before the law. God worked 6 days and rested the seventh. And Jesus tells us, the Sabbath is given for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2, verse 23 through 28. "One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." I believe it is important to have a healthy balance of work and rest. We have to work whether we feel like it or not. We're told to work 6 days, but we're not told how long. I think it's implied it would be most of the daylight hours, but there are parts of the world that have very long days and shorter nights, and then vice versa, they have short days and long nights. So I don't notice that that's exact. But it was written in a time when work in the dark would have been hard. So I doubt they're just working all 6 days nonstop. I think that's not what God designed it for, or how God designed it. So I remember Dr. Tubal saying in a sermon that one way to tell if you're stressed is if you're sitting down to eat meals or just eating while you work. And with a healthy pattern of work and rest, there's time to eat at least one meal a day with your family. So that's my thoughts. I know there's different seasons of life when you're doing other stuff, but I think it's healthy with a family to spend time eating with them. Oftentimes I get to eat breakfast and dinner with my family. So having wealth doesn't make you feel wealthy, and having a balance of work and rest is key to feeling wealthy. This is why God tells us to work 6 days and rest the seventh. If we work all day, every day, we quickly grow tired. By resting when God says, we acknowledge him as our provider. And by working when he says to work, we acknowledge him as our Lord. He, after all, is the one we are serving when we work, not just our employer. And then in closing, Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20. Says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." So the key verse in there was verse 18. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." And I think that's the most important aspect of wealth, is that we remember the Lord while we have it, and that we would honor him with it.